It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We did not read the whole 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. You can go home and read it. But here the Word of God is saying, if you are a born-again child of God, each and every born-again child of God will have persecution. Each and every Christian person will be persecuted. Philippians chapter 1 and read verse 29. Not to just believe in Him, but what? To suffer for His sake.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake.
See, unto you means He said, God has given you some a special grace. When the suffering comes, when the time comes, you will not be afraid to give your life for Christ. Because He has given us that kind of assurance, that kind of power. I heard one time one person was persecuting Christians, and then he got saved. He was killing Christians, just like Paul. And so the other people came and cut his hand, and so he started still blessing them and praying for them. They cut his second hand, and he was still praising God and glorifying God. And finally they cut his both leg. He kept on saying good things about God and forgiving them. Where it comes? It comes from the God's word. He says, God has not only given you grace to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. He gives us a special grace. Read the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Godly in Christ. Not only I'm a godly person, you have to have Christ in you. And when you're suffering for Christ, because He says, each and every person who says, I'm born again, that person will have persecution for the glory of God. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 5 and start reading from verse 13.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
First thing He says, you are salt of the earth. Salt makes everything sweet. Somebody says, I don't know how salt can make things sweet. It can make actually sweet. You take any item made by sugar and don't put any salt, that will have a little bit a different taste. But you add little bit salt in your sweet items, that things will be much more tastier and sweeter. So it says the salt you taste. The Word of God says your message should be salted by the salt, means people can hear and they like it. That's the way your talk should be. And so the Word of God is saying the salt has preservative. If you are a salt and give the Word of God to the people, you are protecting them going to hellfire or going to decay. And then He says, you are the light of the world. If you read in the St. John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And His light gives life to mankind. And so now we do not have our own light, but we are reflectors. We reflect the light from Christ and give the light to the other people. So the Word of God says, we were all in the darkness. We were in the darkness. We were dying without God and without Christ. And we were in the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus Christ has redeemed us or transformed us. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
That means there are saints of God, they are shining for Christ,
who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Now what he did? He had delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness is the Satan's kingdom. So we were dying without God and without Christ. The devil was our king, and we were in the darkness, spiritual darkness. But now, because of Christ, we are delivered from the darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And when the kingdom of dear Son means the kingdom of light or kingdom of life. And there we are translated. And 1 Peter chapter 2, he says,
but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Now you are special people, chosen people. How it happened? He says, because Jesus Christ has called you from out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we became a special people, and we are God's people, so we should be praising God and glorifying God and thanking God that we were dying without God and Christ, but now today we are special people and we can reflect the light of God to other people. Now go to the Philippians chapter 2 verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Now here is saying, where should be you shining now? That ye may be a blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of crooked and perverse generation. You are light of the world, and the candle you don't keep under the bushel, but keep on the candle stand. So we should, as a Christian, we should not be hiding ourselves, not telling anybody about Jesus Christ, and we are busy with a worldly thing, and we have no time to testify, we have no time to tell other people about God. And then God is saying, I have delivered you from the darkness, I made you salt of the earth, I made you the light of the world, what are you doing for me? And so the Word of God is saying, God has called us with a definite purpose, so do his will on earth. Let's read a couple of verses and I'm going to finish. Go back to the Matthew chapter 5, start reading from verse 17.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Here Jesus Christ is saying, I did not come to destroy the commandments or destroy the teaching of the Jewish people, but I came here to fulfill the law. And then he says, if there is anyone teaching something, means changing the Bible scripture, changing the thoughts of the Word of God, there are so many people are doing it. Today they are doing it. And so he says, if those kind of people will be the least in the kingdom of God. Not talking about the unsaved people. There are scholars. There are people knowingly. Some of the people knowingly not teaching the right thing. The point I'm making, the Word of God says, if you do not teach my commandment, then you will be the least in the kingdom of God. If you go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, the builders builds on Christ. And some people built with the hay, wood, and precious stone. And so the fire will come and burn their work. And the person who founded that work, that person might be survived, but his work will burn down. People do not understand what he's talking about. The foundation is Christ. You're building the church on Christ. If you build the church on Christ with a false teaching and the people do not want to get saved or baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit and give this simple, wrong salvation message, they are not going to make it to heaven. It means that work will be burned down. But the Bible says, if that person who taught them things like that may be a least in the kingdom of God. So the verse 20, what you have to do, your righteousness has to be more than the scribes and Pharisees. Then only you will be entering into kingdom of heaven. The scribe were the religious people who knew the Bible very thoroughly. And the Pharisees also very highly educated in the Word of God. And so those people knowing the Word of God but not teaching the other people. Jesus Christ says, you find one person to be your followers and make him your followers. But finally, that person goes to hell because you are not teaching them right teaching. So he says, our righteousness should be more than the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes. So we will stop here. The time is gone. And then we will find out what the Pharisees were doing, and still they were not able to go to heaven. We are in a book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we are going to start from verse 21.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Jesus Christ is giving some Old Testament scriptures and telling these people what was written in the Old Testament. So he just says old time, but actually that is written in book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13.
Thou shalt not kill.
Now here is saying, this was the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he says, if you do that, you will have the danger of the judgment. This was the commandment, and if somebody breaks the commandment, God will judge them. That's what he was trying to say. But read the verse 22, Matthew 5:22.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Here Jesus Christ is saying, you cannot say your brother, you are dumb or idiot or you are a fool. I think those days, danger of the council means they had some kind of council. If somebody says something against mother or father or brother, they will take them to the council, and sometime council will make the judgment and tell them to pay some penalty. But he says, if you say your brother, you are a fool, you'll go to hell. It sounds difficult, but if you are a Christian, it's not difficult. If you're angry at your brother and you wanted to call him fool, or you might have called him fool and you might have said something bad to him, and now you coming to church or you coming to the synagogue and wants to give offering to God, what you do? Read verse 23.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison.
If you said something to your brother, you made your brother angry, and you coming to synagogue or church, giving offering to God. Now people think sometimes, nobody knows what I did. And when they come and give offering to God or give something to pastor or somebody, they ignore or overlook the man's mistake and do not say anything. When you give somebody bribe makes you blind. So that means when you give something, those people will not find any fault. So people think God will be the same way. Let's give some money to God and God will not punish me. But Jesus Christ says, God is not looking for your gift or offering. He's looking at your heart. So he says, leave the offering, go back to your brother, settle whatever the problem you have, then come back. And then he says, sometimes, brother or anyone, if you don't settle the problem, they might drag you to court. And he says, while you're going to court, you're on the way, settle with that person and say, okay, whatever it is, let's figure it out. If not, they will drag you to court. And then when you go to court, they will be giving you some kind of sentence. You might go to jail, and it will be difficult for you to coming out of the jail until you pay all your penalties. So here the word of God is saying, if you have any problems, you settle with your brother, settle with the enemy, and don't drag that thing longer period of time. Because the longer we have grudge, more the problem we can face. So he say, settle it as fast as you can. Verse 26.
Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 14, he says, don't commit adultery. That's the commandment.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
You heard in the old time, this is what recorded in your book. Do not do adultery. But he says, now I'm trying to tell you, even though you don't do adultery, looking at a woman with a lustful eyes, you already have done adultery in your heart. Don't look at that woman with a lustful eyes. Because when you're looking at somebody innocently, that's okay. But you looking at, he says, with a lustful desire. And that's what the problem is. Some people I have seen, they look at somebody, they follow that person, they take them a house number, they wait for them, they look for where they go to work, and all kinds of things they keeping in their mind. And then we finally see what they do, wrong thing, and kill that person. And so that's what the Jesus Christ is warning. If they take the warning of Jesus Christ, don't look at with a lustful desire, you will not have killing, and you will not go to jail, and you will not have death penalty. So Jesus Christ is warning. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and read a couple of verses, 24 and to 29.
To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman.
See what he's trying to say? The strange woman, her tongue is flattery. A strange woman never will use bad words. She will be very flattery.
Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
They look at you in a bad eyes, and they give you a signal with their eyelid. And so he said, don't look at them, because their beauty is not real beauty. You see some ladies, the prostitutes especially, they make certain kinds of makeup. If they have holes in their face or this and that, you don't see anything. And so they attract people with blinking their eyes and giving them signal. So he said, stay away from those kind of ladies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29.
And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
You're looking at a woman with the lustful eyes, did commit adultery in your heart, and so your heart will think about it, and then you're going to do something, and you're going to go to hell. So he says, it's better to take your eyes off and you feel like touching somebody, do you know how many people have some bad desire to touch somebody? And they're groping the girls and doing this, and they are in jail. So the Word of God says, take your eyes off. Somebody says, how can I take eye off, or I have to go and do some surgery or something? He is just giving idea. It is better for you if you don't have one eye, you'll be going to heaven, or you don't have one hand, you can still make it to heaven. But two hands giving you some problems and taking you to hell, or two eyes giving you a problem and taking you to hell, it is better to without that eye and without that hand. But there are some people, they do drastically, they will take their eyes off, or they will take a hand off, because he says so. But that doesn't mean anything. If your heart is not changed, you can take all two hands and two legs and everything, still you can think bad thing, because it's in your mind, it's in your heart. So heart has to be changed. But these are the things people cannot control until they are born again. You have to change your heart. If your heart is not changed, this thing doesn't mean anything. People can hear these things and they say, who can do these things? It is impossible. Okay, let's read verse 31.
It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
Here also says, it has said. Let's go to the Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 and 2.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife.
If you don't like your wife and she did something wrong, give her divorce in her hand. Just certificate, just I don't need you now. You go and marry anybody else. It sounds like easy. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to spend money, nothing. But Jesus Christ says, it should not be like that. Let's go up to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew 5:32.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
This also, if somebody listen, he says, is very difficult. If somebody already divorced, then what's wrong? He says, if somebody is divorced, only he says, a divorce should be that lady did some kind of fornication, she was unfaithful to the husband, and then she was doing adultery. And so if you give divorce to that person, that was okay in the old law. But he says, if somebody gives the divorce to that lady and she marries somebody, that person also committed adultery. Somebody says, I didn't get it. What is this? So this is just like this. Just think that one lady was fooling around with another man and she is married. This person supposed to know, this is married lady, I should not go after her. If the husband of this lady says, okay, you don't want to listen to me, you want to go to that man, go. And he gives a divorce. So what happened? That man was already doing adultery with her. So now, if he marries with her, that doesn't mean that adultery went away. Because he just got somebody's wife and married to her. Jesus says, in God's sight, he's still doing adultery. Because he robbed somebody's wife. He took somebody's wife, and God does not give permit because he married. He took somebody's wife, and now that person has to divorce her, and that person let her go, then other person married her, the same person who was with her, they are still in adultery. So somebody will say, then what the person supposed to do? From this, that person who is finding some fault in his wife, he's supposed to convince that wife, what you found in the other guy, that I don't have it. I married with you, why cannot stay with me? And convince her to stay. The husband saw some mistake in wife. Jesus Christ is saying, forgive her and change her life. Then it will be all right. If you divorce her, she's going to go to hell. If that was not her fault, that's a different story. Then there is another rule in the Bible. If the man has doubt in the lady that you're going after somebody and she said, no, I'm not, then they take you to the judge and judge gives some kind of water to drink and she swells if she did something wrong, and if she didn't, then she is innocent. So they had some kind of law there. So here the word of God is saying, as much as possible, don't divorce your wife. That's the key here. Because from the beginning, God did not perform the marriage for divorce. As much as possible, try to mend your marriage. Don't divorce even you found some fault in your wife. Otherwise, you are letting her loose. She's going back to the man she loved or whatever. And they both of them in adultery. And that's what the real meaning is. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 33.
Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths.
Here is saying, in the old time. Actually, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. He says, you make an oath, and then you fulfill the oath. So that means people sometimes make some promises to God, and God, if you give me this job and I will give $100, or if I get a child, I give this and I give that. They just make an oath. But Jesus Christ saying, you know, you don't have to do oath like that. Matthew 5:34. He says you should not be making any oath or making anything like that, or swearing anything. It is not good. Okay.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne.
Heaven is God's throne. You have no authority to swear by heaven. Then 35, he says, do not even swear by earth. So, because he says, earth is God's footstool. He said, don't swear by the Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem is the city of the great king. And who is the great king? It's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's saying, not heaven, not earth, not Jerusalem, don't swear by anything like that. Means coming from the evil one. The devil is the only one try to change everything. Why people lie? Because they want to hide something. So if somebody tells the truth, you don't have to worry about anything. Truth will be yes, yes all the time. You cannot say yes one time and no one time and no one time and yes one time. You're confusing other people and you confuse yourself. But if it is true, did you do these things? If you didn't do it, no. If you are telling the truth, and if you are a Christian, if you have to suffer for the sake of Christ, you should suffer. It's a good thing to suffer.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.